We're going to open God's Word, His revelation to us, in the hope that His words will remain in us. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, please open them to Isaiah chapter 5. This is a background reading for the passage we're looking at this morning, A Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. And then we're going to turn to John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
So seriously, you put cold tomato sauce on a hot meat pie. Have you ever thought how weird that is? Really, just think about it. Cold tomato sauce. Listen guys, this is a Reformed Church thing. No one else in the world does that, okay? It's good to be with you. It's great to be here, and I just hope we don't have meat pies and cold sauce for lunch. I'm here to give some talks, but I'm here to be with you. So I know I'm a little older than some of you, but don't let that scare you. At heart, I am 19. Okay, so I think we can resonate. So please spend time with me, come and talk to me. I'd love to get to know you. Before we turn to God's Word, let's pray. Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So I pray, Father, now you'll open our mind, our ears, our hearts to hear what you say to us. Speak to us, we pray, that we might remain in you and so bear much fruit to your glory. For Jesus' sake. Amen. As I said, I'm married to Sarah. We have four kids. All my family are what's called third culture kids. I don't know if you know that expression. Maybe some of you are third culture kids. Let me explain it to you. I'm a one culture kid. I was born in England, in Liverpool. Both my parents are British. One culture has shaped me, and really one only, that's the British, I'm English. The British culture shaped me, I'm a one culture kid. Some would be, I guess, two culture kids, maybe some here, maybe your dad's Anglo-Aussie, your mum is Filipino, or your mum's American, your dad's German, or maybe you were born in South Africa, raised here. So they ask you, well, where are you from? Who are you? Well, I'm a South African Australian. I'm a two culture kid. Others are what's called third culture. That doesn't mean like they're born in Sydney, lived in the States, then moved to Paris. They're like my wife, Sarah. Her parents were American missionaries. She was born in Pakistan. She spent the first 5 years there, then they went home to America for a year for their leave. She went back with her brothers to Pakistan for 5 years, to her home. Then they went back home to America for a year. Sarah came back home to Pakistan for 6 years. Then went back home to America to go to college. Of her first 18 years, she spent 16 in Pakistan. Then we got married and she came to Australia. She lived here for over 30 years with me. So, what's Sarah? Where's she from? What's her home? If you ask her, well, are you American? You sound American. You've got an American passport. But I've been there just 5 years. When I went there, I didn't know my cousins, my uncles. I didn't know the music. I didn't know the culture. I'm not American. Oh, then you're Pakistani. Well, no, I'm not Pakistani. I had a visa to go there. Do I look Pakistani? No, I'm not at all Pakistani. So you've been here for 35 years. Are you Aussie? I've never heard Sarah say, ever, I'm an Aussie. Well, Sarah, what are you? I think you say, I can't answer that question. I don't know what I am. They're called third culture kids. Kids who've moved around to different places, may have an Aussie passport or whatever, but that's not their home. If you ask Sarah, where's your home? She'd say, well, I live in Melbourne, but that's just because that's where Mike lives. I live where Mike lives. My home is Mike. He's the one I kind of belong to. Where he goes, I go. So for third culture kids, where you live, your home, is not so much geographical. It's personal. And I think that's helpful when you think about being a Christian. Where's your true home? Who do you belong to? Now you might say, I'm from Perth, I'm from Brisbane, I'm an Aussie, I'm not. But where's your true home? I think your true home is not a location, a city, a country, a geographical location. I think our true home is personal. I belong to Jesus. He's my home. He's where I remain. That's our theme, of course, for this weekend. And that's why, of course, third culture kids tend to move around a lot. They're kind of rootless. So Joel was born in Australia, lived in Pakistan, now lives in America. Pippa, my oldest daughter, born in Pakistan, lived in Australia, lived in America, now works in Germany. Lauren, born in Pakistan, lived in Australia, heading overseas next year to Europe for mission. They're rootless. They don't have a home except in Jesus. where they remain. That's all I want to think about today. Remaining in Jesus. There's a wonderful passage from John chapter 15. These chapters are called often the upper room sermon or discourse. Talk Jesus gave right before his arrest, trial, execution, death and resurrection. Talks he probably gave in the upper room before where they had the Passover, a room they either rented or were given to. And he talks now about a vine. And maybe in the case some have said that they've left the upper room, they've walked across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way, they've seen a vine and a vineyard. So the Lord talks to them about vineyards and vines and grapes. But the real background to what our Lord says here is what we heard from Isaiah chapter 5. About the vineyard that God planted, the parable of the vineyard that he loves. Let me sing a song for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. Three times he says how much he loves the vineyard. The picture is he finds this piece of ground, it's kind of rubbishy, there's weeds, there's rubble, there's stones. So God comes along and spends time, pulls out the weeds, gets rid of the rubble, turns over the ground, plants the fruit, waters it to create a beautiful vineyard that's fruitful and glorious. That was me. And I guess to you that I was just a rubbishy piece of ground. I was just weeds and rubble. And God's been working on me over the years to turn me into something fruitful. I've got four kids. The oldest girl is Pip. When she was eight, we were living in Sydney. And she came home from school one day, did something naughty. Her mum told her off, and she ran away from home at 8 years old. We were in inner city Sydney. About 4 in the afternoon, she took off, didn't know where she actually went to a car park behind the house and hid behind the car. But we didn't know that. I began to search all around the suburb. We called out the neighbours, as a Bible college, called out all the students, searching all over Newtown for her. For hours, it was getting dark, getting late, I'm getting scared. This is inner city Sydney, little girl eight, getting dark. I was getting very scared. Then finally, a student found her behind a car. I let her, Pippa, pick up the story. I don't know how long I sat there in my anger, but it got dark and I got tired. I didn't want to sit there alone anymore, but I was far too stubborn to go back. Finally, I heard someone at the gate, and a torch shone right in the corner I was huddled in. My neighbor saw me. He didn't scold me. He just came over, picked me up, and carried me back to my parents. Seeing my mother's tears, I promised I would never run away again. Pepper goes on. I've always been stubborn, whether running away from my parents or from my God. I don't know how long I would have stayed out there in the dark if my neighbor hadn't come out and found me. I'm sure I would have kept running from God all my life if he hadn't come and got me in my stubborn state. As a child, I knew that being a Christian meant I had to be good. And I was good, mostly. But God's standards seem way too high. At church, I had to live up to the expectation of being my father's daughter. I was a preacher's kid from the holy missionary family. But the rest of my life was mine, and I thought I deserved to live like I wanted. I put up a good Christian front, but in my heart I was running further and further from God. So my double life continued. My life was about trying to find my place in the world, trying to fit in and be appreciated. Then my life fell apart. Out of complete desperation, I give up the fight. Just like my neighbor when I was 8 years old, Jesus sought me out. He picked me up in my sinful state and carried him back to my father. But he did so much more than that. He washed me with his blood. He cleansed me of all my sin and presented me before the Father righteous. End of quote. Pippa was rocky ground. And for years God worked on Pip to make her what she is today, a beautiful woman bearing fruit for Jesus. Sadly, that's not Israel's story. If you're a gardener, you plant a fruit tree for one purpose only, to bear fruit. A vine to make grapes, to turn into sweet wine. That was Israel's problem. No grapes, so no sweet wine. Isaiah goes on. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now I'll tell you what I'll do with my vineyard. I'll remove its head and it shall be devoured. That was Israel. That's God's vine. Worthless and fruitless. See, you plant a vineyard just to bear fruit. Vineyards aren't pretty. You don't do it for decoration. They don't give you protection from the rain. You plant an apple orchard for apples. To eat apples, I have apple juice. If there's no apples or grapes, it's useless. Chuck it out and start again. So Isaiah describes what he wanted from Israel. He looked for justice and behold bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold crying. That was Israel. That was God's vine. Now listen to Jesus. I am the true vine. Not Israel, not Judah, me. You see, Israel, in a sense, was God's firstborn son, his people, called to bear the fruit of righteousness, to be loving and kind and good. But what happened? Idolatry, corruption, immorality. That was God's vine, a useless, fruitless people. But God had another firstborn son, the true son, the true Israel, and all that I wanted from a son, from a people, from a vine, he found in Jesus. Gentle and kind and good and loving and just. And gracious. What's the Lord saying to us through this parable? He's saying this. By our faith in Jesus, we are linked to him. We are connected to him. We, as Dan said last night, we are in him. And therefore, being in him, all that God wants from a people, he does in him through us. We bear the fruit God wants. We do as we are in Jesus. All God looks for in a people, he finds in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. He finds that in us. Through being with him and remaining in him. Having him as our true home. I'm the vine. My father, the vine dresser. Then Jesus described the two works the vine dresser does with his vine. And they both involve cutting. One, he cuts off. Two, he cuts back. First, this is kind of unsettling, God cuts off the fruitless vine. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And those that don't remain in him, he says in verse 6, he picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Do you hear what he's saying? Don't remain in me, and you won't bear fruit. Or conversely, find someone who doesn't bear fruit and they're not remaining in him. If you remain in me, you live it out. I was asked how I became a Christian. I said it was very gradual. I grew up just down the road in Wollongong. Not a believing family, but I went to youth group. And when I was 15, I guess I'd just begun the journey of kind of being a Christian. And I went on a long road trip up to Rockhampton with two friends. Henry, who was 19, Barry, 17, two-week camping trip. On the way back, the topic of swearing came up. And Barry, who was a Christian, a keen Christian, said, "Christians don't swear." Now, I'm not sure that it ever occurred to me, actually. But I thought to myself, well, hang on, I say I'm a Christian. I shouldn't swear. So I'll stop. And I did, by and large. That was the first sign, I think, that God was working on me as I began. I was just a tiny plant, just barely newborn. But the first fruit I think that began to show as I remained in him was the fruit of a good mouth, a clean tongue, of words that are good words that build up and encourage and are pure. The first change in my life. And God's been working, as I said, ever since, gradually changing me to be more fruitful. And if that doesn't happen, over the years, and I've been with Jesus now 50 years, if week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, convention in, convention out, nothing changes at all, then like the vineyard, God would come back and say, "Well, hang on, we've been here so long and nothing's changed. What's the point?" And on the last time I stand before him, at the great big wedding party, God will say to me, "Well, who are you?" I'm Mike Prater. I'm part of your family. I've come for the party. They say, "You're part of my family. I don't even recognize you. You look like my family. There's no resemblance there with my family. See, they're my family. They all kind of look alike. You can tell they're my family. Look at them. There's love and gentleness and purity and faith. You look nothing like that. You're a stranger to me. Go away." But if I remain in him, I'll bear fruit. Because by the fruit, you know them. Now, of course, some trees bear more fruit than others. That's in any orchard. Some have stacks of fruit, some have less. But the point is, the fruit is there. Here's what Jesus is saying to us today. Remain in me, and there will be fruit, and lots of it. The kind of fruit that will bless others, that will make you happy, actually, and will please your Father. So stick with Jesus and remain in him. That's the first word, to cut off. The second word is to cut away or to cut back. I know nothing about gardening. I'd rather be inside with a book than outside with pruning shears. That's my wife loves to garden, and she does our church lawn. She loves to. She goes out there twice a week, she mows and she prunes. And she cuts back the flowers, and when you do that, it gives the flower more energy and it blossoms. I read the other day that, in fact, once you start to prune very quickly, the energy flows and the flower blossoms. That's us. We're the flowers, we're the plants. He's cutting back that we might have energy to blossom for him. to bear fruit. That's what God wants. Please remember that. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants you to be happy. But more than that, He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be safe and secure in life. But more than that, He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be healthy. But more than that, He wants you to be fruitful. When we worked in Pakistan, we worked in a remote town with no school. So we put our boys at 6 and a half into a boarding school, which was, I taught the school, good school, but that's really hard. We sit there, every 6 weeks, they come home for a weekend. We drive the 3-hour trip up the mountain to the school. 4 o'clock, the school opens, and the kids come rushing out. There we are in our car, Sarah and me, our two little girls, and the boys rush out, throw themselves into our arms, in the car, drive home to the Bible college 3 hours away, singing, joking, great to be together for a weekend. Friday night, we just lounge around, watch videos. Saturday, hang around on the campus, maybe go on a picnic. You can watch videos, go down in the evening to the bazaar, buy some kebabs, some tikkas, some lovely hot bread, no cold tomato sauce. It's just terrific. Saturday night, kind of quiet around the house. Put the boys to bed. They might say, Dad, I don't want to go back tomorrow. You'll be fine. Sunday morning, pretty quiet. Just Sunday lunch, our last meal together. Nate on Sarah's lap, Joel on mine. Get back in the car for the 3-hour trip back up. No songs. No jokes. Get to the school and leave the car. Nate at least wanted to have his arms around me like a vice. And the bullying parent came and cries his arms off. He said, go, go. Once you're gone, he'll be fine. Just go. And we did. We just went. And left the boys there for another 6 weeks. The boys were fine. 50 minutes with their friends, they were fine. I was a blubbering mess on the trip back. And one time I said to Sarah, I said, honey, this is really hard. My wife spent 12 years in that school. My wife is very wise. And she said to me, I've never forgotten this, yes, it's hard, but hard isn't always bad. Pruning is painful and it's hard, but it isn't always bad. In his gap year, Joel spent 6 months in a school like that in India. Nate went back with his wife to that school 3 and a half to teach there. Pip works in a school like that in Germany. Mine's going to missionary training college this year to prepare to be a missionary. Hard isn't always bad. And God will prune us because He loves us to make us fruitful. Those years in Pakistan were without a doubt the hardest years of my life. And at times I cried. They were without a doubt the best years of my life. For they made me the man I am today. He cuts off. He cuts back to make us more fruitful. So, we sing we belong to Jesus. He wants us to be fruitful. What do? Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you. You've got to remain in me. How do we do that? Well, he gives us one key guide, one key thing. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. You remain in me by having my words in you. I've been married to Sarah for 40 fantastic years. But still, we keep communicating. We go out twice a week for coffee. We could have coffee at home, but if we do that, she takes her cup into her room, I take my cup into my room, and we don't communicate. To go to a coffee shop, to face each other, well, you've got to talk together. We go for a walk every day for an hour to communicate. I've been listening to Sarah for 40 years. I've been hearing her. I know what she likes. I know how to please Sarah after 40 years of listening. I know she likes green curry. So once a week we go to a Thai restaurant, not my favourite. We go there for green curry. I know she likes coffee, so we go out for coffee, for real coffee, for Melbourne coffee. Woo! I know she likes it when I smell nice. I think I smell nice naturally. I think I wake up smelling nice. She doesn't agree. She thinks I wake up stinky to high heaven. So I have a shower, and every day I put on a nice smell. By the way, guys, it took me 35 years to learn this lesson. Girls like nice smells. Am I right, girls? Listen up, guys. My point is this. I've lived with her so long, I know what she likes. I know how to please her. And I do please her. Most of the time. I've lived with my father, my Heavenly Father, for 50 years. I've read His Word for 50 years. I know what makes Him happy. I know what God loves. I know what He hates. Because the Word's lived in me for 50 years. In fact, so much is His Word in me that what He loves, I love. What He hates, I hate. We're on the same page. We sing the same tune. We've been together so long. His Word is such a part of me. So He says, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. That makes perfect sense. Because what He wants is what I want. What do you want from me? To be fruitful. If God said to me, Mike, I'll give you anything you want, do you know what I'd say? I'd say, God, I want to be fruitful. I want to be more loving and patient and kind and good and pure and self-controlled. What's God want from me for Sarah? Just a loving servant. What do I want for Sarah? I want to love and serve her. You see, God's will and my will are so aligned, are so connected, are so one. His desires and longings are my desires and longings, because for 50 years, His Word has lived in me. And I think I do, largely. I still sin, I still repent every day, but I bear fruit to His glory and to the blessing of others. And therefore, I'm a very, very happy man. So, as I wind up, what's my resolve? My resolve every day is to remain in Jesus. I will not be a branch He cuts off and burns. I'll never be a branch that He cuts off. That's terrifies me to my bootlaces, that thought. It would break my heart. I'll never do that. I'll remain in Him always to bless you and others, to give me joy, and above all, to put a smile on the face of my Heavenly Father. So will you join me? today? Will you make that same resolution today and always to remain in Him? Guys, you are third culture kids. He's your home. He's where you belong. So stick with Him. Let me pray. Jesus, you are the vine, the true vine, and Father, you are the vine dresser. Thank you by your grace and mercy and our Lord's wonderful atoning death and resurrection and our faith in Him. We belong to Him. We are in Him. We remain in Him. And thank you by that, through that remaining, we bear fruit for your glory. And we long to bear more fruit. We long to be vines which please you, bless our world, and bring us joy. So I pray over these few days you'll speak to our hearts. Give us the joyful resolve to remain in Christ. Keep us from the temptations of the world and the flesh and the devil. Keep us in Him, remaining in Him, for our good and for your glory. Amen.